This is Rick Gentry, and I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm excited to introduce to you today Pastor Richard Adarosa, and he's from Florida. We're excited about his message today. Here's Pastor Richard.
Hello, everyone. This is Rich Adarosa, and I'm the pastor with my wife of Church of the Harvest in beautiful Pahokee, Florida, along the Lake Okeechobee, and we have a heart for helping saints and equipping them to do the work of the ministry. And so I really am excited to be able to share today with you some truths that will absolutely change your life. And so if you have your Bibles with you, let's turn and let's begin in the book of Matthew chapter 22. You know, when it comes to faith and when it comes to the things of God, sometimes we have to take a little bit different view. You know, if you walk up a mountain and you look in one direction, you may see one thing. And if you walk up from the other side, you may see something completely different. You know, the Word of God is full of life, and it continues to bring life to the hearers and to those that plant it in their heart. It brings tremendous revelation. And so what a wonderful opportunity to be able to share with you today. So we're going to be speaking on the subject of the fear of failure. How many Christians have not achieved the fullness of what God has for them because of a fear of failure? You know, we talk about in the Psalms and Proverbs about the fear of man. The Bible says, though, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But that fear is not the type of fear we're talking about here. Fear is really opposite to faith. Fear is a spiritual force. The scripture says in John 10:10 that the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Fear is a thief. Faith causes the Word of God to come to pass in your life. Your faith in God can change any situation that you're believing Him for, if you have and know the will of God concerning it. And so as we continue here, I want to begin in verse 22 to set the scene. Now, don't disengage from the teaching today because you think this is just another sermon about Peter walking on the water, because it is, but I want to come at it from another side of the mountain. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he, Jesus, had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they had got into the boat, the wind ceased. Now, there's so many different things about these scriptures, but I want to focus today, as I said before, on the fear of failure. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart about this when I shared this message with our congregation a few months ago. And what the Holy Spirit told me was that sure thinking will limit water walking. You know, if you're going to get out into things of God, it's going to require faith. And God is always going to test your faith. He's always going to give you opportunities for you to trust Him. Now understand that God is a good God, and that God doesn't tempt us with sickness and disease and poverty and lack. But God will give us opportunities where our faith will be tested. And thank God, we can win every single time. It's easy to be afraid of making a mistake that you never get around to stepping out on faith. You can spend all of your time wondering, is this faith? Is it presumption? What if I exercise my faith for something and find out later I've missed God's will? You know, so often mentally we put our mind on the subject and we reason ourselves out of the blessings of God. You know, reasoning is what caused Eve trouble in the Garden of Eden. When the devil tempted her and put a thought of doubt into her mind, did God really say? But I want you to know, friends, that you don't have to worry because God can handle any mistake you can make. Hallelujah. I know because I've made plenty of them. And whenever I did, I just went to the Lord and he'd tell me, stay in the word. Together we'll overcome this thing. And you know what? We always have. Because God is faithful. And even though I might not always be faithful, Jesus is always faithful. And the Holy Spirit is always faithful. You see, I believe if you act on the word of God out of the sincerity of your heart, and you steadfastly stay with the word, Jesus will never let you down. No matter how many dumb mistakes we make, he's proved here the very night that Peter jumped out of the boat in the middle of the lake. You ever stop to really think about what happened there? You know, unlike us many times, Peter hadn't been praying or seeking the will of God before he stepped out of the boat. You know, Peter was sort of an impulsive guy, and so he just blurted out, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. I mean, if you can do it, I want to try it. Hadn't been in prayer, hadn't prayed in tongues, hadn't been fasting, hadn't been seeking the perfect will of God. But the Lord honored his faith, and the Lord wants you to step out, and the Lord wants you to do things. But yet, sometimes, if you're like me, you'll allow that reasoning to talk you right out of the blessing of God. Well, I'm not really sure. Well, I believe the word does say that we are to be led by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will lead us. He doesn't lead us by voices. He leads us by our spirit, our intuition, an inner knowing. And the Holy Spirit will always operate along with the word of God. What was Jesus supposed to say in this situation? Was he supposed to say, well, you know, it's really not my will? He could have said, well, wait a minute, you don't have the faith to get out here. You better stay where you are, or you're going to really drown. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, come. You see, God loves it when we step out in faith. And even if you don't quite have the faith, really, that you think you have, maybe it's presumption, maybe it's just mentally you've ascended to that place where you know that God is going to do something, maybe it's not faith scripturally. But as we step out, God always is there to take care of us. You know, even though a toddler might attempt to do something they're not able to do, do we chastise them for it, or do we go right to them and help them in that situation? No, he didn't say to Peter, and he's never going to say to you and me, if you want to get out and walk by faith, he'll get out there with you, he'll pick you up when you start sinking, and he'll walk you back to the boat just like he always does, just like he did for Peter. So if I'm talking to somebody today, you're afraid to step out in faith because you've got a fear of failure. Well, you don't have to let that fear paralyze you. You can be bold and step out in faith, and Jesus will meet you where you are. And if you begin to sink, he'll hold you up. He'll give you his hand. And if you're off course and you've gone in the wrong direction, he will bring you back to the boat. He will always bring you to a safe place, because that's just who our God is. You know, I'd rather risk being presumptuous, than to waste my life in the boat of unbelief. Just like I said before, if I'm always thinking about the safe place of the shore, I'm never going to really water walk like God wants me to do. Because it's on the water that the deep things of God are experienced and the powerful things of God are experienced. If you have to, just dive in the water and say, God, help me. And he always will. Don't let fear keep you from taking a step of faith. It's time to get out of that boat today. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And Peter had come down out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. I want you to understand something. Peter walked on the water until he got his eyes on the wind and the waves. Now, have you heard this many times? If you're like me and you've been a believer for a number of years, you've heard a number of excellent sermons on this type of faith. But I want to remind you, as we look at Peter and we say, oh, it's too bad he couldn't do it, and I wonder why, and everything. After all, it was Jesus that said, come. Well, we have the word of God that gives us faith to go into all the world and preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, take up serpents, drink any deadly thing and it won't harm you. Now, we're not advocating just doing that. But you know, when you're following the course of the life that Jesus has for you, Jesus said, go to the other side. But there was something more miraculous that God was going to do in that journey to the place that they were called to be. And wherever you are called to be, saint, God is going to continue to allow you to experience the miraculous in your life as you're willing to get out of that boat and do the will of God. Now, Jesus' will ultimately was for them to get to the other side. So when Peter stepped out and began to sink, what did Jesus do? He brought him back to the will of God, which is to go to the other side. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that you're tuned in today? Glory to God. You know, it's a great privilege to walk by faith and not to allow your circumstances based on what God puts in your heart. And if you mess up, at least you have the satisfaction of knowing you tried. You know, I heard somebody say this, that when you're believing God for your healing and that healing doesn't come, I say, wait a minute. There's a lot of believers that have died in faith, believing God for their healing, and they got their healing. Unfortunately, they didn't get it on this side, in this natural world that we live in. But you know, faith pleases God. God loves that. Why is that? Because God is a God of faith. When you act in faith, you're acting just like Jesus would act. And so I want to exhort you, find God's will for your life. Find out what's going to fulfill you and all that you're meant to be. Then choose to be bold enough to step out on an amazing, memorable, and life-changing journey. Let me give you an example. I heard Dale Gentry say this once in a service at Trinity Church International. Pastor Tom Peters was our pastor at the time. And he said that it's easier to do three things than it is to do one. Now, when I first heard that, I thought that is absolutely crazy. And the Holy Spirit reminded me that that principle was working in my life. When I was a young child, I didn't know any better, and I used to put a towel around myself, and I would make believe I was a Catholic priest because that was all I knew about God and religion back then. And I'd take the missalette and I would preach sermons. When I was a younger person, didn't know what I was doing, just had an unction, which later turned out to be a call of God in my life to preach the word. As I began to continue as a young person, I developed a tremendous interest in automobile racing. And I thought to myself, if I could ever be a race car driver, that would be the most awesome thing I could ever do. I remember my dad telling me, well, you can never do that. You have to have ice going through your veins. And so I heard that, and I reasoned myself right out of it. I mean, he told me that I would be a great mechanical engineer, so I went to the University of Connecticut and graduated with a degree in mechanical engineering, magna cum laude, with distinction in mechanical engineering. I was number two in my class, and I'm not boasting in myself. I'm just boasting in God. But these turned out to be, in my life, three things that I would be involved in. Remember what we said? It's easier to do three things than it is one. Some of us think we're limited in what we can do. But let me tell you something. You're only limited by your thinking. And if God's behind it, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. That anointing, the anointed one and his anointing, will strengthen you to be able to do whatever God's called you to do. When I married my wife, Barbara, who works with me in ministry, we became in a relationship together based on ministry that we were doing out in Pahokee. This is going on 19 years. And when we first got married, I was sharing with her my heart. I told her how I always wanted to be a race car driver. And, you know, up to that time, I had been involved in teaching in local churches. I also would cover for the pastor when he would leave town for any reason. And I was a youth pastor at a Rhema church. And my wife said to me, well, why don't you do it? And I said, well, I can't do it. I mean, I've got a job. I'm a father. I'm married. I don't have the money. And she said, well, let's believe God to do it. Do you know, a year later, I had a race car. I was racing with the Sports Car Club of America as an amateur. And over the years that I did it, actually won a couple of races. And to this day, I'm still an avid person who's interested in driving race cars, preaching the gospel. And you know, as a mechanical engineer, I get to work on things for the Mars rover for NASA. I get to work on lens designs for some of the genome sequencing that's being done. And I would have never thought that I could do all that. My greatest passion, of course, is to teach the Word of God. But God has clearly shown me not to be afraid of failure and to allow the grace of God, as I tap into it by the faith of God, to do everything that God has called me to do. And God will do the same for you. So I hope that testimony helps someone. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 33, the Bible says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or money. Therefore I say to you, do not worry or be divided about your life, what you're going to eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? We're talking about the fear of failure. Don't allow yourself to think that if you step out in faith and you miss it, God's just going to let you falter and he's going to make you crawl your way back. No, God is not like that. He's a God of mercy. And if more of us would step out in faith to do what we believe God has called us to do, we would be much more satisfied with our lives. We step into the supernatural by faith. And God takes care of us every single time. He says, which of you worrying can add one cubit to his stature? I believe right now I'm talking to someone that's thinking about pursuing the call of God on their lives. And you're saying, I don't know how it's going to happen. If I quit my job, who's going to pay the mortgage? Who's going to do these things? And I want to encourage you that just like Peter stepped out, God would not let him sink. God would not let him falter. God is not going to let you sink. God is not going to allow you to falter. But he's going to take care of you. So why worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? As Peter began to get his eyes off Jesus and his eye on the circumstance, God said, ye of little faith. Didn't he say that? And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? We can't allow doubt to have that place in our lives. And then Jesus gives us this wonderful verse of scripture that I think we know, we can recite, but do we really believe it? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And so we ask ourselves the question today, should Peter have gotten out of that boat? And the answer is unanimously, yes. Should you step out in faith at times, believing in Jesus with your eyes on Jesus? And have you gotten to that place where because you didn't continue in faith and you got your eyes on the circumstances, maybe you went along with God for a period of time and you were strong in faith and in fellowship with the Lord, and you allowed the distractions of this world, of this life, to distract you to that place where you began to sink. And Jesus stood out there and came with his hand and lifted you up and brought you back to a safe place. Let me say this, friends. The safest place in life is where Jesus is. And Jesus wants you to be safe. He says in his word that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous will run to it and be safe. God is not going to allow anything to happen to you as you stand and believe God and stand in faith concerning things. What would have happened to Jairus if he had decided that it was too late when he heard the report, don't bother the master, your daughter is dead. But Jesus said, don't fear, only believe. That's what we're really talking about here today. When we're talking about the fear of failure, it's don't doubt, only believe. Just like Jesus saved Peter from sinking, God can take you and lift you to a safe place. Some of you today might be saying to yourselves, well, in the past I had a situation. Excuse me, God used me miraculously in the gifts or perhaps in a particular ministry office. But you began to sink. You began to get to that place where you became more focused on the circumstances surrounding you than on the face of Jesus. Well, if that happened to you, I'm here to tell you, friend, that that doesn't mean you'll never get out of the boat and walk on water again. God wants us to experience the miraculous. You're created in the image and likeness of God. God is a supernatural God. That means that you are a supernatural being. God has given you the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead abides in you. The same Holy Spirit that resurrected Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that can resurrect every issue and problem in your life if you will continue in faith. Well, it didn't work for Paul. He spent all his time in jail. Well, Paul was not deterred from producing and writing the epistles, was he? And whether you can argue whether, well, it should have been done in prison or not in prison and this and that, I choose to believe that he got the work of God done. Now let's ask a question. Was Paul perfect? Was Peter perfect? Was James, the brother of Jesus, perfect? Was Timothy perfect? Is there anyone who's perfect and has not missed it? Well, I'm here to tell you, no. The only one who has never missed it is Jesus. The only one who has never missed it is the Father. The only one who has ever missed it is the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you what, they never have, and they never will. And I've got them and their life on the inside of me. Yes, I've got this flesh, and I've got some natural tendencies that would tend to do things that don't make sense. But that doesn't mean that I have to allow fear to paralyze me in my life. It doesn't mean that I should stop and do things. You know, we tend to be impulsive people. I mean, Peter, I think, was a pretty impulsive guy, wouldn't you say? And somebody might, who's very religious, might wag their finger and say, you see, that impulsivity got him in trouble. That impulsivity caused him to sink. That impulsivity, that willingness to step out, that boldness caused him to walk on the water. Have you ever walked on the water? You see, sometimes we're quick to judge people that do certain things. And for you, walking on the water might be as simple as going and talking to somebody about the Lord, where you're dealing with fear that, well, I'm going to talk to him about something, but, well, I don't really know if it's going to work or not. I mean, what if they don't want to listen to me? Or the Holy Spirit might nudge you, or you'll see someone that's sick and you just have this desire in your heart to go pray for them. And you think, well, I don't know that I want to do it. After all, it's safer for me if I don't step out there, because after all, what if it doesn't work? I admire Peter's boldness and courage to step out of the boat at the command of Jesus. By the way, he was the only one that did it. I think he had his eyes on Jesus long enough to be able to do that. You know, God is so wonderful. Don't be so religious-minded that you have to wait for the perfect circumstances to step out of the boat. Don't wait for perfect circumstances to fulfill the plans and purposes of God in your life. Don't wait for perfect circumstances to obey the call of God in your life. Let me tell you something, folks. Living in fear will always keep you below where Jesus wants you to be. And so we can't allow fear. I heard Kenneth Copeland say one time that we should resist fear at all costs. I've heard Joyce Meyer say, if you're afraid, do it afraid. You know, we think that because we might have particular symptoms or anxiety or fear about something, it means that we shouldn't do it. No. If you're born again, fear no longer is in you. Fear comes from the outside. The scriptures even tell us that in the book of Romans, that we've not again received the spirit of fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And so today, as we meditate on these scriptures, I want to encourage you to not allow fear of failure to prevent you from stepping out. So today, as we conclude our message, I'd really love to hear from you. I'd really like to get some feedback from you on the messages, and perhaps you have other things you might like me to speak on.
Rick Gentry, you've been listening to Pastor Richard Idarosa today on Preaching Sunday. For more information, please contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. We sure appreciate all your support. Thank you very much.